Will you pray with me? God, show us through your word a new way of knowing you more fully. And it is my prayer that my words will very quickly be forgotten, so that your word for us today might illuminate us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an interesting story. It's probably one that many of us remember as we were growing up in church. We would hear about the centurion slave being healed. Oftentimes, this story is taught as one of faith because this man exhibited such faith that he told Jesus, "You don't even have to come to my house. I believe in you. And I know that all you have to do is just speak him healed, and my vaunted slave will be healed." And Jesus was so moved by this, he turned to this crowd and he said, "Nowhere, not even in Israel, have I seen this kind of faith." And even from where he stood, he healed the centurion's servant. That's the story. At least the way that most of us have learned this story. But I want to talk a little bit about the use of the word slave here and servant, and how, in fact, this is one of the verses of Scripture that allowed people to stand in pulpits in this country not long ago and justify slavery. Interesting, then, when we look at the Greek word that's used here, meaning servant or slave, the word is pais. It's P-A-I-S in English, but it's pronounced pais. Many people argued that that was the Greek word for slave or son or servant. But in fact, with greater study, it is generally accepted today among most theologians, Plutarch, a plethora of Greek historians, have all come to the conclusion that this word, pais, does not mean servant or slave in the same way that we recognize that word today. If we look at the centurion, who this man was, clearly he was someone that cared about people, because we know from this text that he, in fact, built the synagogue for the Jews. What else do we know about the centurions? Well, one thing is that they were not allowed to be married. These warriors were roughly between 18 and 30 years old, and they could not marry. They needed to be strong for battle. And they adopted a custom that went back to the Greeks of purchasing a companion, somewhere in the age range of 13 to 18, to be their companion, to be their servant in terms of a sexual relationship. We don't want to talk about that much because it sounds tawdry and it sounds like that's the last thing that any LGBT advocate would ever want people to know. But the interesting thing is it was same gender. It was also among straight people to buy the services of a person to be this companion. Remember that people in this time married at the age of 12, 13, 14. So that wasn't uncommon. But it was not looked down upon for a centurion to have a same gender relationship. And so Jesus, while he doesn't talk about homosexuality in any of his preaching, in this regard also doesn't remain silent. Because he is so moved by this man's faith that he heals his young lover. Does he condemn Jesus? He does not. In fact, he commends him for being such a man of faith. And he heals this person so important to him. Pahis is a junior partner in an intergenerational relationship. And how is it then that me, with my very limited knowledge, my pretty low intelligence level, can know something that others who rail against homosexuals don't know? Could it be because they find comfort not in the Word of God as a loving instrument, but they find comfort in using this Bible as a weapon to slam what they don't believe? I mentioned slavery earlier because this is not a new phenomenon to pick what we want from Scripture. I've heard people say, I have read the Bible my entire life. I read the Bible every day. I know that this is the Word of God. There's a difference between reading and studying. When we study God's Word, we start to understand a little more clearly. How many times have you heard people say, this is the literal Word of God? Usually talking about the King James Version. I don't know. I've never heard God speak to me in Old English. What about the Hebrew? What about the Greek? What about the customs? What about what was happening in the world? If we don't take all that into consideration, then we are missing an opportunity to move closer to God. And instead, we are exploiting an opportunity for harm in God's Word. Pat Robertson was asked, how do you explain the tornadoes that ripped through Moore, Oklahoma? And on the television, he said, they didn't pray hard enough. Jesus could still the storm. You can too. You just don't have enough faith. And in the very next word, this multi-millionaire preacher man said, why would anybody build a house that's prone to tornadoes? Could it be because we don't have money to buy luxurious beach homes? Could it be because we don't own empires in broadcasting? Could it be that we are just God's people right here, right now? Using the Bible as a weapon. And you know, I think that we can all agree that this is something that happens. It's something that we perhaps have been victimized by once or twice or our whole lives. We, as a society, find great ability and comfort in using the Bible to benefit us. How can you condemn someone with this word and not preach about love? Isn't our religion, isn't the foundation of our faith built on love and acceptance and tolerance and not judging anyone? If you boil down Jesus' preaching, that's what you're left with. Don't judge. No harsh words. Love God, love each other. It's a pretty simple message that gets lost in all of these words. It's a pretty simple message that gets lost if we want it to. You see, it's one thing for us to proclaim God's word. It's another thing for us to live it in a way that demonstrates who we are. I'm talking about using the Bible as a weapon. Maybe none of us have done that. But how pure are we when it comes to not using our faith, our religion, our relationship with God as a weapon of sorts? How many of you have ever said, I hate lawyers? No. Well, that's a pretty broad statement. How many of you have ever heard, I'm not even going to make you fess up to this. How many of you have ever heard someone say, I can't stand the police? Or how about, all politicians are evil? Well, that one I can kind of. How about this? Black people are so. White people are. Muslims are. Christians are. You see, when we start to use that broad brush and we're painting everyone within a category as being one way. Black people don't understand. White people don't get it. Muslims are wrong. We are taking all of God's creation, narrowly defining it, and painting it all the same. If we have moments when we use our relationship with God, when we use our faith experience to put ourselves even for a moment above someone else, then we may as well be carrying a baseball bat with us. If we are honest with our growing faith, if we are honest in really, really wanting Christ to live in us and through us, then there is no way we can use an expression like Jews are, women are, straight people believe. Why is it that all gay people are? Not one of us is part of a monolith. Not one of us is part of anything where we're all exactly the same. One of my favorite bumper stickers ever, and I get it. I don't have a problem with Jesus. It's his followers I can't stand. Why? What is there about Christians that could cause people to dislike us or to hate us just because we're Christians? When we as Christians proclaim anything, people will know first that we are followers of Christ, and then that we are humanitarians, or we are good parents, or we are bigots, or we are full of hate disguised as love, or that we are hypocrites. This is not an uplifting message, is it? But it wasn't intended to be. Instead, I want us to think about who we are as individuals, as this church, as the church of Christ throughout the world. What does that mean for us, friends? It's got to mean more than coming to church on Sunday morning, feel good about having done that, and then going about our way. It means watching what we say. It means watching how we are perceived. And perhaps the hardest thing of all is it means watching what we're thinking. Isn't it true that if we think it, then we do it? If we think an evil thought about the woman checking out in front of us at Walmart, paying with food stamps, then we have judged that woman not knowing a thing about who she is, where she comes from, her position in life right now. We have made a judgment. And that puts us outside of Jesus. Jesus does not push us aside. We are kind of like the centurion in that regard. You don't have to come to our house. I have to tell you, if Jesus called today and said, I'm coming over for lunch, I'd say, let's go to McDonald's instead. Because I fear sometimes that closeness with Christ. Because I do judge. And I do proclaim things that make me a little more elevated than someone else. I do have my bigotry. I do prejudge someone based on the way they look or speak. And that puts me outside of the light of Christ. Friends, it's time for all of us to step back into the light and commit to staying here. In our words, in our work in this place, in our work in the world, in the way that we care about each other. And each other doesn't mean the person you're sitting next to here. Each other means those people who look different from you, who believe in a different way, who speak in a different tongue. Because it's not until we recognize the power that we have of using the Bible and our faith convictions as weapons or as tools. A tool of hope, a tool of building, a tool of coming together and holding up, binding in Christ's love. Not just the people that it's easy to love, but in fact, those that we may never meet. The children who made cards for our children. They'll probably never meet each other. Some of them won't remember it beyond this week. But that was a selfless act of love. Those kids didn't know the color or the ethnicity of the children here. They didn't know anything about their families, how they're being raised. But what they did know was this, that our kids are worthy of Christ's love. There's a powerful lesson for all of us there. We cannot afford to waste any time, any energy by using Christ as a weapon when we can use Christ as the healer of all that's broken, all that's wrong, all that hurts, all that questions. Jesus, if we allow the Christ Spirit through us, can do no harm, only good. Amen. Will you join me for a few moments of silent prayer?